at The Signal Caller. He also does a preview, a podcast, covers West Virginia and college football like a glove. And Jed Drenning covers now with us on ESPN Central Texas. I'm David Smoke with Paul Catalina. Jed, I know there have been some ups and downs in Neil Brown's first year, which can be expected. Where are they now as a team as they head into this game this week against Baylor?
Well, to be honest with you guys, it's the framework's being put together. I mean, what you're looking at with West Virginia, after last offseason, we probably lost as much or more as any offseason in the history of the program to the NFL from a talent standpoint, right? So when you couple that with the coaching transition, there's going to be some natural attrition there. It's been pretty thin. At various spots, we've had to put things together kind of like a ransom note and do some patchwork, moving things around. And we've been banged up on top of it. But somehow, Coach Brown has found a way, whether it's surfaced on the scoreboard or not, each week since the JMU game to get a little bit better in certain key areas. And that's kind of what we're looking at. I mean, a couple years ago when Matt Rhule took things over in Waco, I remember he put together a 2-deep, a 44-man 2-deep that included 28 kids that were freshmen and sophomores on that 2-deep and only 7 seniors. I don't know if the numbers are that extreme here in Morgantown, but they're close to it. So the blueprint that's been laid by Matt Rhule down there, by Matt Campbell in Ames, Iowa, that's a similar blueprint to what we're – it seems like we get younger each week almost, if that makes any sense, guys, through injury or whatever the case might be. So that's kind of the blueprint that we're following, and we're just trying to keep getting a little better each week and see if we can surprise a few people down the stretch.
Jed, are they a little further along, though, than maybe you thought? I ran into a crew that worked for West Virginia at Big 12 Media Days, and they could not have been more bearish on the prospects for the season. In fact, thinking they were going to lose to JMU by 17 points.
Oh, hey, let's start with that. If you don't take the air out of that football game in the second half, we do lose to JMU. That's a talented football team. Matter of fact, some scouts will tell you right now they have more pro prospects for the NFL than we do, that JMU team. So Neil found a way to win that thing. We faced a tough environment in Kansas. Texas Tech just faced a similar situation. We got out of that with a win. We game-planned very well against an NC State team that's going to win a lot of games. To win those three games that we won, credit to Coach Brown, credit to the staff, and credit to the kids for responding to it, and then to battle your way into the fourth quarter against Texas, to battle your way into the fourth quarter against Iowa State. There have been a couple times that we didn't show up in the way that we would hoped. Oklahoma was, of course, one. The first half of Missouri was one. But those are all learning experiences. I mean, there have been disappointments, but we're still hopeful throughout the entire process. We recognize what he went through his first year at Troy. He was 4-8. Before he had three straight 10-win seasons, he was 4-8 that first season. And I'm not even certain that he was battling the same sort of challenges that he is right now from a personnel standpoint. We're young, but we're battling, we're fighting, and we keep trying to get better. I mean, I saw a couple kids that were former walk-ons out there on the field defensively going against that Oklahoma offense, hustling as hard as they could hustle and sometimes making plays, and that's kind of what this team is right now.
You know, it's interesting. Do you feel like a Saturday like we saw in the Big 12, not that West Virginia needs to see other scores, and as you mentioned, if you look at their record, it can be deceiving. Yes, there's a game or two they won, they could have lost, and vice versa. Does Saturday give a team that's right now trying to search for a surge to become bowl eligible a little bit of hope that if they just do what they're supposed to do, they might be able to join that party?
David, in part, I think, but the larger message has to be we got enough issues that we got to focus on us. Okay, it's pretty daunting if you look on the other sideline and you see what Oklahoma was able to do. It's pretty daunting when you look on the other sideline and you see what Baylor's able to do. I mean, I couldn't be more impressed. The staff couldn't be more impressed with the job that Matt Rhule's done. Baylor is an incredibly talented football team. I don't want anybody to sell them short from a talent standpoint, but they're also glued together. They're a well-coached team. There's just not a lot of holes in what they're doing. And if you focus too much on Baylor instead of on your own problems, your own issues, and how you try and get better for the week, that might just hurt you. So upsets can and do happen, but they're not going to happen unless you bring your premium effort. I mean, it all starts with that, right?
Yep. Jed Drenning, sideline reporter for West Virginia football. He'll be in here in Waco. He's with us at The Signal Caller on Twitter with ESPN Central Texas.
If you had to give a grade to Austin Kendall so far, what would that be?
you know what? It's so unfair right now because he's had to dribble with his left hand for the better part of the year with a lack of a running game. We've ranked nationally toward the bottom of the country most of the year, and even those numbers are a bit deceiving because a lot of our rush yards have come in the perimeter game with just Neil being creative, right? So we've been so one-dimensional offensively, it's tough to assess his play. I mean, I'll say this about Austin. He is a hard-nosed, tough, tough kid. I mean, he had over 20 shots put on his body at Missouri. He just kept coming back and coming back. That's when I learned a lot about Austin's toughness. If you study the game tapes, you'll see a number of times he stands tall and makes the throw, hits crossing routes, faces the music. He has the guts of a burglar, and that's something that I didn't know about him when he arrived on campus from Oklahoma. So I'm not trying to dodge the question. I'm just being honest. With the limitations that we've had offensively and our inability to field any kind of consistent run game, it's tough to really assess how Austin's played. But I think he's shown some things that we can build on. I'll definitely say that, starting with the toughness, and I think that's resonated with the kids.
You mentioned Matt Rhule and even alluded back to when he had 28 young men on his roster back at the 44, the depth chart his first year, 1-11. Last year they found a way to get into a bowl game and win it, and you've seen them. Your thoughts about the team he has, because they seem to be, they've won in Manhattan. We just saw what happened there with Tech. With Oklahoma. They won in Stillwater, which is hard to do, and they also have done what they're supposed to do and taken care of business. They also escaped with close losses to Iowa State and Texas Tech, and, of course, a very difficult schedule with the logos coming up with Oklahoma and Texas. But your thoughts about who you see and what they are and what you're hearing from West Virginia?
If you're going to have a special season like Baylor is poised to have, you're going to have some games that you just flat out steal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Iowa State's one of those for Baylor. Maybe Texas Tech was one of those for Baylor. You can't have a special season without a list of those types of games. But when you look at the things that needed addressed in the off season for Baylor, they've all been addressed. They couldn't buy a turnover the last couple of years, right?
Yep.
Fewest turnovers forced by any team in America, Matt Rhule's first 2 years in Waco. Now they're tied for the conference lead. 50-yard plays that they were giving up. They were giving 50-yard plays up by the bucket load. It wasn't even close, far more than anybody else in the league. They put a lid on things defensively. 3 plays allowed of 50-plus yards through 7 games, in part because they're right up there with sacks, leading the conference in sacks, pressure in the quarterback. Sacks allowed. They've done a much better job of protecting the quarterback. Now, part of that's the maturation of Charlie Brewer, right? But all of these things they needed addressed in the offseason. They were getting gashed in the run game a year ago. 5.4 yards per carry allowed a year ago. This year, in part because of those sacks, 3.6. These are all things that you look to that were addressed in the offseason. When I look at Matt Rhule, here's what I see. I think there's 2 types of coaches that are in this business. One of them gets a head coaching job because they're just so fantastic at one element of the game. They're a hot rod coordinator, whether it's on the offensive side or the defensive side of the football. But then there's this other type of coach. And I think Matt Rhule, and I'll be honest with you, Neil Brown is this type of guy. They're just leaders of men. I think you could take Matt Rhule, I've said this about Neil Brown, you could take Matt Rhule and instead of saying, hey, look at this big bag of problems we got with this program in Waco, go fix it for us. Well, he's obviously fixed it. But instead of doing that, if you put him in charge of a Walmart in Waco, Texas, I don't know how they rank Walmarts, but I'll promise you, if you give him 3 years to rank higher, he'll rank a lot higher. He just strikes me as that type of guy. What he did at Temple, what he's doing at Baylor, he's just a leader of men.
Are you going to do the pregame speech for Baylor football? That's great.
I'll tell you what, that's one of the easiest pregame speeches to give because there's a lot of positive energy coming out of that program right now. And again, we look across the sideline, that's the template. That's the blueprint. That's what we're trying to be. That's what Neil did at Troy, same blueprint. We've seen Matt Campbell do it at Iowa State. Now we're watching Matt Rhule do it in Baylor. I mean, that's the type of thing. We're playing a lot of youth, just like they did a couple years ago. That's what we want to get to. We're showing flashes of it. There's some promising signs. We just need some consistency to go with it.
Hey, man, we'll see you Thursday. Thanks, Jed. Appreciate your time as always.
Thanks so much.
Jed Drenning.